Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillich in for John Hockenberry today. You know, I've been reading a lot about the Rio Olympics coming up in Brazil. And have you noticed this? Have you noticed that there has barely been a single good news story out of Brazil before the games? You know, the French president said yesterday that they thwarted a terrorist attack by a Brazilian Islamist militant against the French delegation in Rio. The police force there has been on strike. There are cost overruns, infrastructure disasters, political confrontations, the ouster of the president, bodies washing up on the beach at the volleyball venue. Of course, the Zika virus. Sure, there have been one or two nice breakthrough stories. Michael Phelps is returning for the U.S. team, and the mayor of Rio is really excited for Pokemon Go to get there in time for the games. But bashing the host country is actually nothing new. Think about Athens or Beijing, even the United States, on the receiving end of tons of criticism before hosting the World Cup in 1994. Andre Markovitz is a professor of political science at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. He's authored numerous books and studied comparative sports culture in Europe and North America, and he's here to deconstruct the awful news coming out of Brazil in the run-up to the games. Andre Markovitz, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Is the terrible news coming out of Brazil as remarkable to you as it has been to me? Every story after story after story, nothing good coming out of Brazil in the run-up to the games. Is this just what we do?
Well, there's a bit of a difference with Brazil, which is, of course, the Zika virus. That is unique. You mentioned all these other negative things that always accompany mega events for lots of reasons, sometimes quite different. The United States and the World Cup were vilified because, of course, it was the United States at the time, and maybe even still, was not a soccer country. So it was seen as if the Winter Olympics would be held in Senegal. I mean, it was something totally inappropriate. But that's a very different reason than the negative things that were mentioned about Athens, Sochi, London. Those were almost always about the failure of the organization, building not being complete, people not ready, of course, hotel prices jacked up, all kinds of things like that. But it rarely, or in fact, I don't recall ever there being this issue of health. And that, of course, is quite unique. Now, about the impeachment of Dilma Rousseff, the president, that is just sort of part of the package of always having a critical assessment of these Olympics. And I would actually argue that the mega events held in developing countries, such as, for example, South Africa, even, of course, China, and now with Brazil, the negative is even higher. In South Africa, if you call the World Cup 2010, again, issues of safety, things that did not come up with London and the others held in the first world.
So part of this aspect of the media culture we've seen before is sort of a lot of naysaying and foreboding coverage before the big event. Zika might be different because it's a real health issue. And then what happens in the history of sporting mega events? Do the flame gets lit, the events start, and everybody forgets about the bad stuff and just focuses?
Exactly. The flame gets lit. There's the brilliant opening ceremony, which is, interestingly, with the closing ceremony, the most watched of all the events, showing you that it's sort of a sports is almost incidental. But of course, there comes the feel-good event for the nation that hosts it, hosts disproportionately, and in fact, by vast amounts, gain in terms of medals. There's the home field advantage is huge. It's a feel-good story for the host nation. I mean, everybody, basically nationalism kicks in, which is the most powerful unifying force in the 20th century or probably even before. Just remember how the Brits went totally gaga over the Olympics in London, delighting about beating the Germans and the Australians in their medal hall. This was a huge issue, almost rivaling the United States.
Right. So, Andre Markovitz, let me ask you the key question here, though. What does it say about us that we do this over and over, that we're always so negative and nasty going into the big event, and then it's all washed away and we're so wonderful once it starts and once it's over?
No. It's only washed away during, and then, of course, the postmortems develop, which, in fact, are also often negative, and, in fact, scathingly so. I mean, the Montreal Olympics was held in 1976. The post-mortem negativity, I think, lasted until a couple of years ago. Basically, the huge cost overruns, the unnecessary buildings. A very distinguished colleague of mine here at the University of Michigan, Stefan Szymanski, just did a study of the London Olympics, which he shows that the buildings were, I mean, the whole construction, all that was really fraught with difficulty, and the development of London could have been very different. So the post-mortem is not always positive. Basically, the press the media have a role of, you know this better than I do, negativity sells much better. And, you know, journalists like to kvetch, and people worry about these mega events. And let us not forget that at least in the developed world, what has also happened is a fatigue over these mega events. Increasingly, people in Europe and North America are very wary of having them. So typically, the next Winter Olympics were only contested by Kazakhstan and South Korea. The Austrians declined, so this declined, that declined. So in fact, there's a much more critical assessment on the part of the public what the benefit of these mega events is, and maybe just this phenomenal high of the 2 weeks of the duration may not in fact suffice. So I don't think that it's only the lead up that makes us sort of being nasty and kvetchy and crabby that leads to this assessment that you're now seeing with Brazil.
Nasty, kvetchy, crabby, leading up to the big games. We've seen this before. Andre Markovitz has seen it before. He studies comparative sports culture in Europe and North America, professor of political science at the University of Michigan. Professor Markovitz, thanks so much.
Thank you.